toi te rangi marie, o rangi nui e tui honei, o papu tua nuku e takatonei, o te taia e awhinei I a tātou, tihei Māori ora. This is The Green Desk on 95 BFM.
Yes, this week on Green Desk, Mitch had a korero with Environment Minister David Parker about the new national policy statement for highly productive land. This new policy statement aims to tighten the management on highly productive land under the Resource Management Act in order to protect these areas from arable land from inappropriate subdivision and urban development. And they discussed what will be included in the policy statement and how it will be implemented at ground level. Mitch begins by asking Minister Parker for a bit of context on the issue and why there is a necessity for such legislation.
Well, we know that in recent decades we've lost many thousands of hectares of our highly productive soils to both intensive subdivisions but also to lifestyle blocks that prevent them being used for, you know, horticulture. And so we need to make sure that as our population grows and we need more housing, which we clearly do, we're not doing it on top of our most productive soils.
Is the majority of this land that is considered highly productive all around pretty much urban developments?
A lot of it is, partly because towns and cities were originally built where close to where they people could grow their food. And cities have expanded. There's a risk that if you don't protect these areas, they expand over those areas rather than around them. Some of these are really important. You know, for example, most of the South Island can't grow leafy green vegetables in winter because it's too cold. Some of the soils around south of Auckland in the Pukekohe region are used to grow our broccoli and our other leafy greens in winter and then are shipped throughout the country. So, you know, we need to house people, but we need to feed them as well. So we've got to be careful that we don't have housing and lifestyle blocks on top of these precious soils.
Is maybe some of the reason why it's only occurring around the urban areas, apart from them being close to fertile soils, due to like some of our farming practices, which have, you know, made our land less arable?
There are some problems with soil quality as well that were identified in the Environment Aotearoa report that came out last year. It showed that some of our soils have been compacted by intensive use with heavy animals trampling the soils and squeezing out the gaps between the soil particles, which means they can't store as much water. The little microbiological communities that live in the soils are adversely impacted. And so, yeah, we also need to have a look at land use practices. Of course, we've also got to combat erosion. We're losing a lot of soils into our waterways. That's not done through the NPS on soil protection. That's done through the water NPS that's coming.
Right, and so when we're starting to talk about impacts of urban development, erosion into freshwater and soil, they're all obviously got their own documents, but are they being developed together in a more of an integrated way than they have been before?
Yes, they are. For example, we launched the National Policy Statement to protect highly productive soils the week before we announced our revised National Policy Statement on urban development so that we could make sure that whilst we meet the needs of the population, you know, we've got people sleeping in the streets in New Zealand because we haven't got enough housing. That doesn't mean to say that housing should just go on all this wonderful flat land that is sometimes our most highly productive soil. We can, if we plan properly, meet both of these objectives.
For the soil quality statement, what are we actually proposing here?
The first stage of it is requiring councils to identify their Class 1, 2 and 3 soils. They make about 40%, 14% of New Zealand's land area at the moment, and our best soils, our Class 1 and 2 soils, are only 5%. So councils will be required to map those areas and to be careful that they don't allow them to be unnecessarily built upon. Most of the time there are alternatives. There might be the occasional pocket that's already surrounded by urban areas that they still choose to develop into housing, but by and large these areas are going to be protected better in the future.
How is this actually going to be translated into protection? Because I don't know, in a lot of district plans and statements that I've experienced with, you know, the words protect from inappropriate subdivision and land use and development, they're already all throughout our, you know, statutory documents. So I'm wondering, how is this new policy statement going to ensure that is carried out at a lot by lot or like a development level?
because it elevates in the hierarchy of things that the councils have to give effect to. So it's effectively a national direction coming down from on high, requiring them to better protect those soils. It's given effect through change next time they change their plans, or they've got an application for a plan change to change land use. They have to accord more weight protection of those highly productive lands. And although plan changes take a bit of time, it will also have immediate effect in respect of proposed changes of land use, which generally aren't permitted activities. It's generally not a permitted activity to change a piece of rural land into a subdivision. And so as part of the consent process, this would be taken into account as well.
A lot of my experiences as a planner myself is mitigation for these things. And so I want to know, is the new document, is it going to be setting bottom lines, or is, you know, mitigation going to prevail again?
Well, it requires the council to better protect highly productive soil. So if they just tried to carry on as they were, they would be in breach of the national direction. We would pick that up partly through the reporting obligations that councils have to the Ministry for the Environment, and we'd be holding them to account if they weren't doing it. I don't expect that to be a problem. I've had quite a bit of contact from councillors to say that they've always been worried about this, but they find it quite hard to resist the power of the people who are trying to, you know, turn a piece of land that might be worth $20,000 or $30,000 a hectare into worth many hundreds of thousands of a hectare as subdivided land. And this will help them resist those pressures.
What are we talking about here in terms of submissions? They're obviously open at the moment. When do they shut?
I think they sit shut by the end of October, I think, if it's from memory, but 8 weeks in total. So yeah, they'd be right, the end of October.
Cool.
And thereafter we'll analyse the submissions and then make any modifications that are necessary, and then the document's promulgated by way of a statutory regulation which gives effect to it.
Right, and what do you think people should be, you know, saying in these submissions?
Well, I think they should be saying that they want to protect our ability for future generations to grow food. And maybe we've been a bit slack in New Zealand to take these things for granted, because relative to a lot of other countries, we've got a lot of these high-value soils compared with our population. But nonetheless, we can't afford to lose them. They're really precious to feed not just ourselves, but, you know, to export food to the rest of the world and, you know, pay for the things that we like to import.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that, David. I think it's about all the questions I've got. Did you want to add anything else yourself?
Just to emphasise that it's not just about intensive subdivisions. Lifestyle blocks really intrude into these areas and make it difficult for them to be used for horticultural production as well. So we're looking at both of those things.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihe Modi Ora.
And that was Mitch talking to Environment Minister